The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus went into Galilee. There he proclaimed the good news from God. The time has come, he said, and the kingdom of God is close at hand. Repent and believe the good news. As he was walking along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you into fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in their boat mending their nets. But he called them at once, and leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the men he employed, they went after him. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm often asked, having spent 30 years in London, what do I miss? And certainly there's one answer I always come, the theatre, live theatre and the opera. Love a good play, not a film goer, and I do love live theatre. So every time I get to the prophet Jonah, I'm always almost transported, as it were, to theatre, because it's such a graphic little story, and that's not just because of Jonah Man Jazz. It's only one Sunday in the three-year cycle that we get the story of Jonah. So sit back, think that you're at theatre. You've come to see a play called Expect the Unexpected. And the curtain goes up, and their center stage is Jonah, just busy getting on with his life, doing the ordinary things in life like you do at home, just busying himself, we know not what. Then the voice of God comes, and it says to him, "Go to Nineveh, the great city. And when you go there, preach repentance to the people so that they'll turn around, change their ways." Well, it wasn't a calling that Jonah wanted in the play. He doesn't want that. Not just because it would cause disruption in his life, having to trek all the way to Nineveh, but it would disturb and challenge his comfortable prejudices, because he thought of Nineveh as a wicked, evil place with wicked, evil people. And he didn't think that they were worthy of his message. So his first reaction, center stage, Jonah, is to go, Nineveh's over here where I am, is to go in the absolute opposite direction. He goes as far away off the stage as he can. And when it gets to the end of the stage, there's the sea. And so he goes aboard ship, of course, as you probably know. And of course, like the bay around here, the going gets rough, and the sailor says there's something wrong, there's obviously a wicked person on board. He says, "It's me. You better throw me overboard." So of course they do, and the fish swallows him. But the point is, it lands him back center stage. And he hears the voice of God again. So off he goes to the city. But he's so cross, because he didn't want to go anyway. And when he goes and he preaches to them, they actually believe it and they repent. So he stomps out of the city in a great rage. Now, as I say, it's a very graphic story. It's very short. It's only about 3 pages in your Bible. So it's a good thing to get it out and just read your story. Because expect the unexpected. He couldn't cope with the unexpected because actually what God asked him to do happened. He didn't want that. But in a way, you could say the same play would be appropriate for Simon and Andrew, James and John. Expect the unexpected. From their earliest days, they probably knew what they were going to do. We certainly gather James and John were working with their father, probably Peter and Andrew too, in the family business, the fishing business, very appropriate, could be back to Newlyn again, and they're in the fishing business, and that's how they've grown up. They've got a settled life. Peter, we know, is married, probably got their own homes, families, but they're probably still quite young. So this person comes along, Jesus, and calls them, because the Lord has got other plans for them. I think it's interesting that it said, so they left Zebedee, their father, and the many employed, and they went off. Like you're working in the family firm, mum and dad put their trust in you, and somebody calls you, and off you go, and leave them to get on with it. And they probably think, well, he's been doing it years, my dad, he can get on with it for a bit longer. I'm just going to off and see what this new person has to say to me. Expect the unexpected. They didn't run away. There's the contrast. Always where the Lord is, they followed. It says they left everything and followed him. Expect the unexpected. I'm sure when they followed him, neither Peter nor Andrew nor James nor John expected what their outcome would be. Sure, Peter didn't anticipate being crucified upside down in Rome. Andrew on his cross. James, John. John, of course, we know, died just in old age. But the others, martyrs, they probably didn't know all that when they followed the Lord. But when they followed him, they knew their lives would never be the same again. In a way, I think that's got to be the challenge of the stories today that you remember. How open are we to hearing the call of God, busily getting on with our lives? How do we respond when it comes to us? We all have our own plans, our dreams, our hopes for the future. We can set them in stone and find it hard to change or alter or conceive of another way of thinking. You know, today they say, think outside the box. Well, maybe Jesus is calling us to think outside the box. We can't do that, Lord. We're fixed in this little way. But do we expect things to turn out? Bring us to the middle reading, Paul. Paul was expecting the Lord to come almost tomorrow, certainly next week. Couldn't be longer than a month. And as you know, I think yesterday was the 21st of January. I said, we've got 11 months. Because hasn't somebody predicted the 21st of December? This year it's all going to... Well, don't believe, of course, any of it. Rubbish. Because the Lord says, you don't know the day or the hour. Paul was expecting it. Didn't happen. But what Paul did was fix his eyes on the Lord. And maybe that's where we are today. That call of God, that change of heart to repentance and conversion, but also that follow me. It's a message we hear daily from the Lord, and he still calls us. And challenge, can we, as two disciples, like Peter and Andrew, James and John, leave whatever the Lord's asking us to leave and follow as they did?